Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the Sustain It podcast. Today is a very special episode because today, December 10th, 2020, is a very special day. And today is a special day because this day in 1948 is internationally recognized as Human Rights Day. A day marked by the United Nations General Assembly to uphold certain unalienable rights of everyone, everywhere. But before we get into the details of what human rights means, especially in the context of water and sustainability, first, I gotta share some crazy updates about the Below the Surface team and current project progress. The first major piece of news for today regarding the Below the Surface and projects is that our very first project has been complete in Ethiopia. So we did a project in the central area of Ethiopia for the Belda community. So this is in Bale region, if you're familiar with Ethiopia. And this is huge for a couple of reasons. So reason number one why this is such monumental news is because of the context in which the project was completed. So we all know in 2020, we went through a world pandemic that we're still going through with COVID-19. So this already had put the project on a delayed timeline. But in addition to the delays from the pandemic, there also was conflict because of the death of a famous singer and political activist, Hachalu Hundessa, in Oromia, Ethiopia. So imagine the complications with COVID-19 are in existence. Then you throw on top of that civil unrest in that area that's directly related to where our project was located at, with roads being closed, public and government property being destroyed, and civil unrest throughout that area. Even in the midst of such challenging times, our partners and volunteers in Ethiopia were able to still complete the project during one of the most intense and heightened times of chaos in that specific region. So that's one reason why that news is important, because of how critical it was for our partners and volunteers to rise to the occasion in such challenging times. The second reason why completing that project is important is because it created a snowball effect that led to improvements in other areas in Ethiopia and beyond. So what did this first project cover? So this project included the implementation and planning processes for the water project. It included establishing two water points in the Belda community that cover 60 households, so roughly 300 people. And so what this does by establishing these first main water distribution points is it allows us to move into the next phase, which is installing the rest of the water points in that village that'll produce a sustainable source. And so this is important, and this is good news, because the more water points that you establish, the less strain and volume is burdened by one water source. So right now, our goal is to have a total of 10 water points for that village based on the population size. We've docked out the first two. We've mobilized tools and resources and everything needed to reduce the cost and improve the completion rate for the next phase. And we're hoping to complete that next phase by the end of 2021. So great news that's allowed us to expand coverage for that village. So it's important because it was completed in a high stress, high conflict environment. The second reason was because it expanded our ability to provide sustainable coverage through the rest of the village. And the third one, which maybe is most important, is that it was done and completed with the help of the original donor support. So we did a campaign in 2018, originally for the Ambintu community, but due to increased project cost and the complexity of it, we didn't have enough funding to complete in Ambintu. So we went with the community that is closest to Ambintu, still in Bale region, which was the Belda community. So of those, I think it was maybe 80 or so original donors to that GoFundMe funding campaign. We want to honor specifically those donors that contribute to this project in a very special way coming up soon. So we completed our first project and we got some special announcements coming up for those donors that helped make it possible. Other new update is that we've now expanded our operations to Tanzania. So we're now working on a major project in Zuzu Village, which is near Dodoma, Tanzania. So we established a project team out there and we're excited to share updates in the next coming weeks as well to provide water coverage for that area. So, completed the Ethiopia project, expanded into Tanzania, and the last major update, which I just found out today, is that our very own Brandon Rogers got accepted into Harvard Business School, and he'll be pursuing a business degree and starting there in the fall of next year. So that's it for major updates for Below the Surface. Now we'll dive into the discussion for today on Human Rights Day. So as mentioned earlier, December 10th, 1948 was the day that the United Nations General Assembly agreed to certain rights for everyone, everywhere. And they agreed to uphold this document on universal human rights. But curious enough, although that happened in 1948, it wasn't until recently, or rather recently in 2010, that the right to water and clean water and sanitation was added to that list of human rights. So think about what that means. So, you know, from 1948 to 2010, is, you know, 60 plus years of recognizing all these important things that are needed as indisputable rights. And not until 60 years later is water recognized as one of those indisputable rights. This meant a lot outside of it just being explicitly recognized. What it meant is that it called on institutions and organizations to design financial institutions, social institutions, environmental institutions to support all those things that would make getting clean water to every single person possible in a reality. So it said, hey, water is a human right, but here's all the things that need to take place in order to sustain it long term. So on July 28th, 2010, when United Nations General Assembly explicitly recognized the right to clean water and sanitation as essential to achieving human rights, that meant that organizations had to build capability in communities that didn't have access to clean water. And they also expected organizations to transfer technology and other
developments and advancements that would be necessary to make clean water and sanitation not only available, but also affordable, and help build those nations. And so this looked like capital investment and not the forms of aid and things that you see predominantly overwhelming emerging nations today. So what does access to clean water and sanitation look like as designated by the United Nations? What are really five key things? So one, it had to be sufficient. So 50 to 100 liters per household. It had to be safe. So the World Health Organization monitors the quality of the water. So free from microorganisms and things that cause diseases and other health disparities. So it had to be sufficient, it had to be safe, it had to be physically accessible. So within or nearby the vicinity of the household. So that's defined as about 1,000 kilometers away or less, and that the collection time for the water be 30 minutes or less. It had to also be number four, acceptable. So it had to be an acceptable color, odor, and taste based on not only approval from you know, organization like the World Health Organization, but the actual user itself. So it had to respect cultural boundaries, gender, life cycle, and just different expectations of what acceptable water is based on the person using it. And then number five, it had to be affordable. So that's defined as less than 3% of a household's total income. And so those were the five things designated to be sufficiently clean water and sanitation accessible. So sufficient, had to be safe, had to be acceptable, had to be physically accessible, and it had to be affordable. But if you look at sub-Saharan Africa and the families that make up that region, nearly every single tenet that was originally outlined as an indisputable human right by the United Nations and agreed on international terms is violated if you look at the water sources. So you ask yourself, is the water sufficient? Is it 50 to 100 liters per person per day? No. Is it safe and free of pathogens and disease? For the large majority, no. Is it physically accessible, which is defined to be within 1,000 meters and fill time less than 30 minutes? No. Is it acceptable based on a cultural, gender, and life cycle expectation from the user? No. And the last one, is it affordable? Is it 3% or less than the average income or household in sub-Saharan Africa? No. So how is it that more than 82 years later in 2020, we still have a human rights crisis that's looked at as something that's normal, that's looked at as something that isn't a major violation of things that we all agreed on an international basis? And so we can talk and discuss all day about the water insecurity and the issues that are going on around the world that's not living up to the expectations of what human rights means in the context of water on Human Rights Day today, December 10th. But what I really want to address and turn to is the solution. You know, how do we design and engineer systems that will protect against this indisputable right? And when you look at history and you look at nations and areas that are least affected by climate change and a lot of the looming kind of things that are on the horizon, it had to do with capital investment, water conservation, and the general understanding that in order to meet some of those tenants, for instance, like water not costing more than 3% of your household income, you had to build advancements within the systems as you provide water systems to nations in need. And so this is especially relevant today because of how severe water shortages have come, and not just for areas in sub-Saharan Africa, but for all over the world. We should all accept and recognize that the issues of water sustainability and water scarcity isn't limited to just sub-Saharan Africa. For the first time in history, water is trading on Wall Street because of fear of supply and demand risk. There's talks of water being recognized as the cause of the next world war. So, on Human Rights Day, today, December 10th, 2020, let's all think about what are the solutions and things that we could all be doing to help the human right disparities when it comes to water. So that's what I'll leave with for today. But on the next episode, we'll talk about some of the solutions that have worked historically for solving water sustainability issues and things we can implement now in the present. Thanks for tuning in to the Sustain It Podcast. To hear more about water sustainability and below the surface journey to help improve water sustainability around the world, please tune in to the Sustain It Podcast episodes and follow us on IG at below_. Visit our website, www.belowsurface.org. Thank you.